Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
Why is it being recorded? Wait, record man. Shit?
It's the 4th of July, man. What's going on here? You're recording us?
I know. This is creepy. Is it the NSA? The NSA doing their thing again?
Good. I'm telling you. We're starting to be monitored.
Yeah. Well, let's say hi to the NSA. What's up, faggots? All these nerds. Like, oh, did you hear what they called us? Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know if you can joke anymore. You know, I've lost so many fun words due to, like, can I say that? And then I'm like, I'm almost 50. I think we're getting to that category where they're just going to write us off as crazy old people and we can say what we want.
The funny thing is, like, there's probably people, oh, can you believe you just said that? Dude, there's no ill intention when you say something like that. It's called comedy.
It's called humor. It's just listen to an old Eddie Murphy spoof.
I was just going to say, it's like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, like, line up everyone, right?
That's what I think people forgot is the intent of the message. It obviously our intent's to make you laugh.
Good gosh. And
especially, I have a dark military sense of humor. And, you know, we used to greet each other with shit way worse than that. I promise you.
I'm chuckling inside my head because you imagine someone in the Vibe Tribe, either the window is rolled down or they have the convertible, and you just yelled that out loud.
That's happened. Remember that dude? I think we got an email. The dude pulled up next to like a soccer mom, and I was talking about hookers.
We should have a warning before this starts for the Vibe Tribe. You have to listen to this with your windows up.
Yeah, or headphones, man. Because we are definitely not the dudes you put on speakerphone. So same applies to other formats. So,
well, awesome, man. Well,
dude, I'm super pumped. But I wrote a couple things down. I want to say hi to Kenya and Tanzania. Welcome to the Vibe Tribe. Is that crazy?
Is that Secret Squirrels, or do we maybe have some tribes?
I don't know if we got locals or we got some squirrels, but it's good. You see these countries pop up. You're like, holy shit, that's fucking cool. So,
and it's not like either way, one
welcome.
It's like,
no,
yeah, I know.
Right? Yeah, no, we got multiple downloads. And I love to say this, we blew past 100,000 mark, which is awesome for a teeny tiny Huggy Bear podcast, you know. Yeah. So watch out, Joe Rogan, we're coming for the title, bro.
No, thank you, Vibe Tribe. That's amazing. Man.
That means a lot
to us. Also, the pictures you guys are sending in, hilarious emails. Please keep that up. Pictures of just random spottings of Vibe Tribe, you know, rocking the gear. But also, we're getting pictures of our Vibe Tribe out in the wild, either camping or doing great stuff in nature, man. Keep sending it, man.
We love you guys. And a quick shout out to my man, Brett in Nebraska. What up, dude?
Ooh, I like Nebraska, man. That's
a little pumped up shout out there. So, yeah, dude, today we have a great topic.
We do.
4th of July was just an amazing experience. And so we thought this would be a great time to talk about patriotism. Yes. Patriotism is awesome.
It is.
And the concept of patriotism seems to be under attack these days. And so we thought we would kind of defend our beliefs and have some fun doing it. And especially, I just took my mom, my wife, and my daughter to an awesome parade.
I saw the pictures,
and then a rodeo last night, which was fucking cool, especially for my daughter. It's like her first 4th of July in America.
Oh, wow.
And I just said, hey, welcome to America, sweetie. This is half your heritage. So now you see how you don't see this shit in Thailand, do you? You got motherfuckers doing backflips on dirt bikes, huh? You don't got that in Thailand.
That is awesome. I didn't even think about that. That's just so amazing to take.
She was crying, dude. She was crying during the national anthem and fireworks. Man. And that's, I think she really, and you know, it restored my faith. I got a couple of videos I'm going to try to piece together later for my social media. And we've talked about this before. If you watch the news, you just think everyone hates America and they're teaching our kids that this place sucks. And for sure, there's an element of that out there.
Yeah.
But I looked around yesterday and of course I saw people of all color, people of all sizes.
Exactly.
Everybody's happy. There wasn't one problem, not one little Antifa fruitcake skateboarding by. It was just everybody loving America, the parade and the rodeo, and it was just fun and silly. And I just kind of sat back and watched it. And several times I just kind of, at the parade and at the rodeo, I just filmed around to see all the people. And I thought, man, it kind of like choked me up a little bit. Like people still love this country, you know?
Well, you know, along the same lines, because, you know, like you, I went to the local events and stuff. And, you know, that crossed my mind too. But I was thinking like, you know, the sad part of this is if you look at this, exactly what you said, every color, creed, religion, it doesn't matter. Everyone was having just a great old time being good old Americans. But it shows you on how sick it really is where there's these people actually trying actively to divide us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
It makes it even more apparent when you are witnessing on how awesome this is. And there's no issues with people.
No.
There's people creating issues for us.
Yeah, well, that's how you know you have a good thing. They have to make problems instead of some countries have real problems, whether it's they can't grow crops, they have, warring tribes, or, I mean, you got the Taliban knocking on your door. I mean, there's a lot of situations. ISIS is down the street. A lot of horrible things. Some countries are just disease-ridden, whatever, you name it, rough climates.
Yeah.
But here, it's just like we have to create problems because it's so fucking good. And I realized there's really two groups currently in America, those that love this country and those that hate this country. Luckily, yesterday was proof that we have numbers, that I believe now there is more of us that love this fucking country. Now, you wouldn't know that if you watch the news.
Nope.
Excuse me. Or if you follow certain pages on social media, you might believe that everybody hates America. But yesterday was a big confirmation.
Oh, it's
beautiful. Because I sometimes am like, damn, what's going on? Like, what's this weird undercurrent we got going on? But I realized I will still stick to my 90-10 rule. I still believe 90% of Americans love America, and it's just that 10%, but they hog the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yesterday was proof that there's just, I mean, I got choked up many times.
Yeah.
You know? It was just so moving,
also too,
so emotional.
What would made it more emotional is because of the last year. Last 4th, we were all under quarantine.
That's true. I forgot about it. You couldn't even celebrate. Yeah.
No, you couldn't. There was no barbecues. There was no parades. There was no fireworks. There was nothing.
It's true.
So it made it even that more important this year.
Yeah, freedom. Dude, I only saw like 2 fucking masks, too. It's great.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah.
And they were like scared little people with purple hair and shit. I'm like, that's okay. You're still welcome. You can still celebrate.
Oh, my God. They had grimace hair.
They did. Oh. And one of them was a grimace, dude. Oh. I was like,
I'm telling you, man. It's coming back. On.
Yeah.
It's coming back.
Grimace, well, grimace is back.
I, you know, for the fact checkers out there, and people like that, I want to be very clear. Clark and I want to be very clear, okay? Because, you know, we're talking about patriotism here, okay? Yeah. And let us tell you what patriotism is not. I'm going to repeat that, is not. This is not arrogance. It's not superiority. It's not disdain for others. It's not racism. It's not exclusism. What this is, it's a sense of connection to your country, and it should be unconditional. And it's unity under one flag, and it brings us together despite our differences. That is the common cause of country. And it doesn't matter if you're American. That is the common cause of patriotism in any country you live in.
To be proud of your country. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. I think patriotism to me is love for your country.
Yes.
Attitude for your country. Now, obviously, some countries are kind of tougher than others, but that doesn't mean they're bad.
No.
You know, most countries around the world, I think you should be proud of where you're born. It's who you
absolutely
are. There's so much that goes into where you're born and how you're raised and the traditions your family passes down to you. You know, whether it's Canadian, Italian, American, name another country anywhere. I mean, wherever, Australian or
the
country
Brits,
in Africa.
Yeah.
Every country I've been to is so rich in tradition.
Yes.
And even some of the war-torn places I've been in the Middle East still have tradition, a sense of family. It's obviously politics and, you know, dictators get in the way and things. But for us, we're very lucky that we do have more freedoms. They're slowly disappearing every day.
Oh, but
we still have more freedoms than any place I've been.
It's
you know, even in England, you know, our UK friend, Chris Ryan, not allowed to own guns. You imagine
that?
An ex-SAS soldier can't even have a fucking Glock pistol? I mean,
that's the guy you want to have a
Glock. If there's one dude, that, I mean, yeah, maybe your SAS guys get a pat. But
yeah,
in America, we have that ability, and obviously our founding fathers were very smart the way they laid out the Bill of Rights and all this stuff. They knew that protecting speech, which obviously is under attack, and yep. your Second Amendment are very important. There's a reason why it's number one and two. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us different. Even our brothers to the north, Canada, you can't just own fucking guns. There's all kinds of restrictions and rules. And you see these videos. There's a new dude I'm following. I can't remember his call sign on Instagram, but he's this big Viking dude that's a Canadian, like it's awesome. Weightlifter guy. But he throws these underground weight sessions in his backyard for free, and the cops are always giving him tickets because it's violating their COVID shit. He's but you can go down to the liquor store and buy booze. And his point is, why is fitness
exactly
illegal, but people can drink themselves to death in their homes? Or, you know, so he's just he's racking up these checks. Kind of reminds me of that gym owner back in New Jersey or whatever. Kicking his own doors in to stay open. And, you know, it's weird what's under attack and then what's still allowed, you know.
Well, they don't want strong body, strong mind, strong soul. Yeah. They want you numb and dumb.
Well, right? Look at how they're bribing you to get vaccinated. Anheuser-Busch says they'll give you a free beer. I think de Blasio said he'll buy you a hamburger. Biden says he'll buy you ice cream. I'm like, wait a minute. Everybody knows the key to defeating this virus is a healthy immune system. Right? Yeah. Yet you're trying to tempt people with junk food and alcohol,
yeah,
which are shit for your body. How about just encourage people to take vitamin D and exercise and get sunlight? And I mean, it's
next they're going to throw in a side of insulin.
I mean, what about a handy at the local massage parlor?
That would get people. Yeah,
and it won't be one of those politician or celebrity shots where the needle don't go in. Like, I'll get vaccinated right in my butt cheek.
Yeah.
On camera, if I get a little handy at fucking, you know, Mimi's fucking massage parlor down the street.
See, that's why they need us to help with their marketing efforts. Like, you know, right? The hamburgers, beer.
You want people to get vaccinated. It's or handies. How about fucking $500 tax break or fucking $1,000 tax? Motherfuckers be lining up for that poison.
Yeah.
I might. I'll roll the dice for $1,000. Fuck it, dude. Put that shit in me. What does it do? All right, let's do this. But, you know, getting back to patriotism, patriotism also means to me freedom. It means that obviously there's boundaries. I don't have the freedom to, you know, go into a movie theater and shoot it up. That's not a freedom. You know, there's some weird arguments I've heard people make, like that's not what it's about. You should also live by another code, which is under attack. We are a Christian nation. And the fact that God has been completely removed from many aspects of things. Mm-hmm. I agree you shouldn't push religion on people and stuff, but the founding fathers put that language for a reason because there's a moral standard that's implied behind it.
To be accountable.
Exactly.
To a higher power,
something. And I think once you remove that, then who gives a fuck? You can do whatever you want. You're just kind of playing by your own rules, which is dangerous.
Oh, it is. It is.
They put that in there. And they even said clearly that there should be a separation between church and state.
Well, that's at schools and stuff.
They don't want a theocracy. We don't want some pope running our shit or whatever. But to have the spirit of a higher power in our laws, in our behaviors, I think there's a moral piece that used to also make us different than other countries. That's why we like to try to help other countries and... Yeah, our government does some shady shit sometimes. Every government does.
Exactly.
But the people themselves really care. Like, we really do want to help people. When we're the first ones to show up, if there's been a genocide or a natural disaster, and I know there's parts of our government that aren't so friendly, like the agencies that do weird shit, but the military in general has a good heart.
Yeah.
First responders have a good heart.
Well,
that's
the whole Magna Carta, right? So when we go to help countries, you don't take it over and now you own that country, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, well, even look what we did to our enemies at the conclusion of World War II. We rebuilt them. Now we're friends with Japan and Germany. I mean, it's like we don't just devastate you and then crush you. We build you back up. You know, I mean, and now Japan is a little superpower with technology. And I mean, they're amazing. Same with Germany. You know, I mean, we didn't just crush them and break their spines. No. And rip their souls in half. So a lot of enemies would. I mean, any occupying communist country, they're there to fucking
take
put the boots to you, man.
Right, to take more land. Yeah, you know, but I think also too, as and it doesn't matter where you live in this world, you know, because the real the good vibes of this is patriotism is just that love for your country. And again, this is not nationalism. We're better than you. That's not nationalism.
No, okay? It's just loving your country.
It's
man.
Loving your country. But I think
everybody should.
We have responsibilities, though. And again, I don't care what country you live in. You know, if you want to be a patriot, and again, fill in the blanks wherever you live, because I know, you know, we have the Vibe Tribe worldwide, but, you know, you should respect your flag. You should mm-hmm. honor the Pledge of Allegiance or the equivalent.
Yeah, your national song.
Stand yeah, when you hear
exactly.
that national song.
Be proud. Because any country, somebody has sacrificed their life for your yes. country in some way or another.
Yes. And you should honor and respect, you know, for us, it's the Constitution, but the equivalent of where you live, you know, the doctrine that keeps rule of your land and yeah. to respect that type of history and process, right?
Well, and people are lucky here, too, because obviously there's a lot of protests during our national anthem. And yes, it is your right. Ugh. But just because it's a right really doesn't make it right. Or just because something's legal That's doesn't exactly. mean that it's
yep.
it's really morally correct. And yes, you have the right to do it, but I also have the right to not like it. Yep. I really don't like it, especially as a service member. To me, there are much better ways to get your message out. Exactly. All that is in most cases a grab for attention because these are failing athletes, whether they're NFL quarterbacks that suck or they're hammer throwers that suck. I just think like that's not the time and place for that. You know, if I have a message, there's much better ways to communicate because right away you're going to piss off half the country.
It is. And,
maybe
and
more. Maybe more.
Let's talk about this for a minute, okay? Because this is somewhat of a hot topic right now because you talk about Gwen Berry, the Olympic athlete. And again, I'm vocal on this. We both are. And it's really simple to me. The Olympic teams, you are chosen to represent this
country.
This you're an ambassador.
That's crazy.
So bottom line is show some class. Yeah. Show some class and respect for the institution that you're an ambassador competing as
an providing
athlete.
You an opportunity to excel and move upward and you're gonna shit on it. Like this
it's not a public
time and
platform.
A place for that. Yeah. It's a time and a place for that. So whatever your cause is, and I think the problem is we've talked about this a lot, is the media is really poisoning a lot of people.
The younger generation.
These
are younger athletes, and they think this the woke movement or, you know, it's cool to be anti-country. And to your point, I mean, as a veteran, you know, it's like, you know.
It makes me sad, dude. It makes me sad. I mean, that's if that's your message, you're breaking the hearts of veterans that have, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, buried buddies, all this shit, multiple wars. And it's just like.
Yeah.
Not now. Don't do that shit now. Not during the anthem. I mean, it's just give us one moment of unity. It doesn't bring a positive light to your cause. I'm sorry. Everything is about timing of the message, and that is not the time.
Well,
whatever, you know, hot topic you want to fucking bring up, that's not the time and place. It's like farting in church. It is not the time and place. There's a time and a place to fart.
Dude, and there are people that do that. It's just so wrong.
It is.
But once you're over 80, you have a pass to fart anywhere.
Oh, sure. It is a certain age for sure, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I can't wait. I'm going to be the elevator dude at 80.
I like farting on my kid. That's my new hobby.
Oh, it's the best pastime ever. You wait to do. I mean, you know. But getting back to this, again, you being the veteran, and you have these athletes that are doing it. The funny thing is what they don't realize is there are countries that participate in the Olympics where kids are taken from the household and groomed because their talents to become an athlete for that country.
Oh, it's all they do. It's like
it's
slavery,
not,
man.
It's not
it's horrible.
Freedom.
No.
The opposite, in the free world, in the free countries, these athletes have lives. They have the choice. If they don't want to be an athlete tomorrow, she could quit. He can quit.
For sure.
You're not gonna lose your house or your provisions, you know, if you don't represent us.
Well, if you hate this flag so much, go be a citizen in another country and do their Olympics then. I mean,
exactly. Or you know what? How about just don't participate in the Olympics?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I saw a meme the other day that said, imagine a country so great that even its haters refuse to leave. If you hate something that bad, honestly, dude, it's true. I mean, if you don't like your situation, you can, what do they say? 10% is what happens to you. 90% how you react to it.
Exactly.
That's the situation. If you're not happy, change your situation.
I think anyone who's going to act in this manner that is on an Olympic team, and I don't care what country, I think it's the coach's responsibility to say, listen, it's not happening. You're off the team. Yep. Because, again, it's a team. So how insulting is it for you to act like that? And the other people are crying tears as the flag is going up and they hear their national anthem.
Oh, it's very emotional, especially when you win something and the achievement. To me, that's the same thing as turning your back on your boss as he's trying to tell you something or she's trying to tell you something. Like, it's just so disrespectful to turn away from any situation. I don't like that this has become a platform, and it's contagious because of the media and social media. And he got like little kids softball teams doing this shit. And it's just like, stop. That is not, it's cancerous.
It is cancerous.
And it's bullshit. Yep. I don't care, how people feel about it. I know in my heart that it's wrong. It's the wrong place, the wrong time. And it backfires. It never works out well for those people. Sponsors get pulled. And I mean, look at fucking Kaepernick still ain't playing. So, I mean, what's your big fucking boohoo about, man?
The sad thing is, as a famous person or athlete, you almost have to ask yourself, if you're in that role, is what is my legacy going to be? So this girl, no matter how she performs in the Olympics, she's always going to be known as dude, you're anti-American.
Yeah.
So that's not so cool. Bad.
It's counterproductive. And now your message is lost. Like, your message, and maybe you have a valid complaint or whatever it is, but there's a time and a place, especially these wealthy athletes. You have many avenues to do whatever it is you want to do through different foundations, organize stuff, build stuff.
Amen.
Set up community centers, whatever your cause is. You have the ability to do a lot of shit, to sit there and act like a baby during the national anthem.
Oh my gosh.
Why don't you actually do something like what we're trying to do with the podcast, or get a message out? Or there's so many positive ways to get your beliefs or your thoughts or your wisdom out there, to sit there during the national anthem. And it just, it's divisive. I don't care.
Maybe they need to watch Band of Brothers from start to finish and just say, now I kind of get it.
I think we just need to throw them in some fucking army patrol that's driving around some godforsaken country and let them get fucking attacked and blown up. And when they see what this is about, why is this a special moment? It's not just a flag. It's not just a song. There's a reason you stand for it. You know, when you understand, if they could see with their own eyes, the price that's been paid for this country, and realize a lot of these people have never really been to other countries. And I promise you, almost all of them have never been to a country that's fucking war-torn or scary.
No.
You know, your trip to fucking Paris doesn't quite count. Go to Kabul, Afghanistan, and spend 30 days there, and then say, fuck, America's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. but to your point of how, as patriots, we prevent these type of Olympic athletes or these young people going this way, I know you believe in this, because again, you were saying earlier in the episode, it was an amazing experience to watch your daughter to be involved in that. But I think as parents, it's super important for us to instill this in our kids. Society currently wants, everyone to follow the crowd. But if we instill patriotism, hopefully they won't fall into that trap of division, hate, racism, and bigotry. Because again, it's one nation under God.
Exactly. That language exists for a reason, because as a nation, it holds us to a standard. Like, we have to take the high road. We have to be the better society, even during conflict.
Yes.
We're not supposed to mutilate and torture our enemies. And, war is a nasty thing, but there's a way to conduct it that still is ethical. We don't go into, look at what ISIS was doing, cutting heads off kids and shit.
Oh, I know.
Eddie Gallagher's book, they're putting heads on spikes of this playground. And
yeah, like Vlad the Impaler.
We don't do shit like that. Now, are there fucking soldiers that go a little sideways during war? Sure. But as a country, as a policy, one of my good buddies, Hamidi, was a young boy in Iraq. And he said the first time he saw an American soldier, he just thought, oh God, we're going to be okay. You know what I mean? It was just
yeah.
the American soldier.
It's like Captain America showing
around
up,
right? the world. Yeah, they know, like, oh my God, the Americans are here. Now, not everybody. Obviously, bad guys don't like us. And there's also a lot of misinformation and brainwashed cultures
mm-hmm. that
their government or their dictator has told that we're this evil thing. And we don't do everything perfect. But I promise you, throughout history, when we show up, people are like, fuck, America's here. I mean, they really do. I've talked to these people. I've talked to people yeah. in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places where they know that if we're there, things might not always go awesome all the time, but it's better than where they were at. You know, at least the younger people, some yeah. of the older people are so indoctrinated into whatever previous right. culture they had. I saw that in Iraq. Older people liked it better under Saddam.
Sure.
Younger people said, fuck that. We'll fight the insurgency. We like our freedom. We like internet. We've discovered boobies online.
That was
Coca-Cola jeans.
Yeah. The turning point was, oh, wow.
Digital porn is winning the war overseas.
I mean, dude, it's tough for them with the burkas. It's constant guessing game. Now the internet comes. Yeah. It's like, whoa.
Hey, FYI for our listeners, there aren't Kardashians under the burkas, man. I figured out why they make them wear burkas. Good. Just kidding. There Gosh. Are some beautiful women around the world. But
we're having fun. We're jesting.
Yeah.
But, that's funny. But you know what? It's funny because what's going on today, it's like, it's just Star Wars constantly plays in my head. You know, you have the dark side empire, you have the good fortune, the
God,
Americans,
yeah.
the Brits, the Aussies, and all their yeah. our other allies, and then you have the countries out there that's like the dark side of the force. It's like the saga continues, man. It's just, it's crazy.
It's the way of the world. I mean, we're just, end of the day, we're tribal people.
Yeah.
And I think our politicians exploit that because that's just how our brains are wired
yes.
through hundreds of years of evolution.
Yes.
I think what I try to tell people is I don't break the tribe down any further than America, Americans. When I was overseas, never at one time myself or did anyone say, I'm only fighting for Democrats or I'm only fighting for Republicans or I'm only fighting for people in Colorado or no, it was America. And that flag, when you would see that flag on your uniform, someone else's uniform, your Hummer, whatever, flying above a post or whatever, you would just think back in a snapshot to home, how you grew up, what your wife is doing, what your mom's doing, what your friends are doing. You would just imagine that they're sitting around maybe watching Family Guy or your little brother's in school or whatever the scenario is. In a snapshot, you would just have a flashback of America. And it made you feel good when you see that flag. That's why it was so special to us, because it was that lifeline back home. In the event, if we were lucky enough to go back home, just to see that flag. And most of us had it on the inside of our tents, trailers, hooches, you know, and I slept under that flag.
Absolutely.
It made me feel safe when I would sleep. You know, I felt like, okay, America was watching over me.
Yeah. You have a piece of home in a foreign
land. And it's waiting for me. There's some hope to return from this fucking shithole.
Yeah.
You know, that's waiting for me. And I just always pictured Taco Bell and a Jeep and
Heck
guns
yeah.
and going to the beach, you're camping in the mountain. You just, all these things you kind of daydream about. And that's why it's very emotional for us veterans when athletes disrespect it. Because you're like, what sacrifices have you made? But like two-a-day practices, cry me a fucking river. Jesus Christ. You know what second place is in my world? A fucking box ride home.
Well said.
You know
sir.
What I mean? They're all bitching about fucking bronze medals and NFL shit or whatever's going on. Like, dude, give me a fucking break. So that's why it's emotional. But to counterbalance that, yesterday showed me that patriotism is still alive and well. Please teach your kids about it. And don't look at it through the lens of all this shit that the media and politicians want to, we're a fucking country of slaves. Look at where we're at now. First of all, none of us alive today could happen, could help what happened 100, 200, 300 years ago. Obviously, I mean, we can't control the past. But look at how we've evolved from that.
Yes.
I mean, look at our society. I love how the news will say, like, it's a racist society. It's a white supremacist everywhere. Why are there people of color in every facet of our society? We have black astronauts, black politicians. We had a half black president. Currently, we have a half black vice president. We have black congressmen, senators, quarterbacks. Name a position.
Yeah.
All over through our society. If we were truly a racist society, nobody of color would be. You think there were any brothers running the shit in Nazi Germany? Nope.
Yep.
They were all white people. Point. And they were special white people. They were like this Aryan breed of people. No one of color was anywhere seen. In fact, remember when Jesse Owens won the fucking gold medal in the Olympics?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck you, Hitler.
That's right. That was,
that's an athlete, bro. That was badass.
That was an
athlete. To have a black American kick ass.
Yes.
It'd be like, fuck, Hitler's hosting the fucking games in Germany. And we won with a brother man kicking ass. That's America.
Hell yeah.
Tell me where this white supremacist problem is.
That's where, again, I respectfully disagree with all those people, because those people are saying, hey, patriotism is not an option for me due to our history. Listen, we see good vibes, basically. If you're part of the Vibe Tribe, you see people as, you know, brothers and sisters, regardless of history, right?
Yeah,
you know,
you got to be a good person. That's the only rule.
But keep in mind, it doesn't matter if you're what country you live in. There's a fact that people have given their life, okay, for you to live in that country and to enjoy those freedoms. At the bare minimum, that's what patriotism. If you're angry, you're pissed off, and you hate everything, at least respect that minimum fact of sacrifice. And then just be a patriot on that one word, sacrifice.
Yep. And if you're unhappy with something, the solution usually is, how can I positively affect this?
Yes.
If you don't like your community, you don't like your state, you don't like your country, figure out, what can I do to make a positive change? Maybe that's to run for office. Maybe that's to serve as a teacher, a police officer, firefighter. Make a positive contribution. If you truly don't like something, don't just bitch about it. Change it if you have a legitimate gripe, but change it in a positive way.
Absolutely.
To be honest, I've always thought that protesting was the laziest way to attempt to make change. And I actually posted that on my old account, probably why I got shut down. There were some protesters just kind of sitting there and laying down with their signs. And I'm like, what is that doing?
Right.
You know, I wanted to make a change. I wanted to help support my country. So I joined the military.
Right. Or look what
then
you
I became
doing.
A police officer. Like, those are physical things I'm trying to do to help my country, help the community of Phoenix, like physically. Yes. Take my good vibes out there. And I had a lot of success with that. Or I could have just laid around, smoked dope, and hold a fucking sign. You know,
You guys did in California. I mean, you know, instead of laying down, and what you're saying is like, okay, Newsom's a douchebag. Let's take pen to paper. Yeah. Let's get this asshole out of office.
Get him out. Right? And then same, I voted for the candidate I wanted for presidency. I'm doing all I can. As a citizen, I use my platform on social media to express some of my views, especially during the tough times. I could say things a lot of people couldn't, because they would lose their jobs.
Right.
I ended up losing my account, but I don't care. I'll do it. I still do it today. If there's a tough topic with my two followers on Instagram, I'll throw it out there to the universe or on this podcast. Luckily, podcasts haven't been regulated yet, but there'll be a point in time where that happens.
Oh, I hope
that is definitely not patriotic. You know, that should concern people. And I like that there's a balanced system. I had a message the other day. I put up a post about the dangers of a one-party system, and that armed citizens stand in the way of a death grip on a one-party system.
Absolutely.
And someone hit me up and said, well, don't you think that getting rid of liberalism would be good, and it's just all conservatives run the nation? And I said, listen, why can't we have two parties that are awesome? Not every liberal's bad. I like Tulsi Gabbard. If they could replicate more Tulsis, I would love Democratic Party filled with Tulsis and a Republican Party filled with Crenshaws. I think America would be fucking great, and they would talk to each other. And yes, they would differ on some topics, but they would find a compromise.
Yes.
But those two people to me embody the expression, two wings of the same bird. What we have now in office is, I don't know what the fuck that
who
is.
Knows? Well, to your point, the example you gave with those two is, I would consider them patriots.
And yeah, again, both.
It's because of this. You're not trying to divide us by class, race, religion, or party affiliation.
Exactly.
If you're doing any of those, you're not a patriot.
No. You're in for yourself.
Exactly. So that's what we have to be on guard as patriots. And again, it doesn't matter where you live in this world. If you start noticing trends, be like, dude, hey, we're all good, happy people. Cheers. Yeah. Let's have a beer. they're trying to divide us by class, race, religion, and you know, you're good, I'm bad, you're not. Dude, yeah. And that noise
don't let them
is
put you in
here.
A box. They want to put you in a box.
Exactly.
That's why, look, I get with tribal, and as I said that before, they're playing on that mechanism in our dinosaur brains, our lizard brains. But if you think of the smallest you're willing to scale that down to is America, like, we're fucking Americans. Yeah, that's my tribe. I'm American.
Great point.
It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, black, white, whatever, fucking trying to divide you up. And this another tactic is bringing up our past, which we said we had no control over our past.
No.
I heard an expression the other day that I love. A horse never won a race by looking backwards.
It's true.
History is important to learn from so you don't repeat the bad shit, but don't dwell on it. We can't change it. It just fact that it's a tool used to spark that division. You know what I mean? It's not good. You got to look forward. You got to appreciate where you're at.
Yes.
And then look forward to be a better person.
But also it's like, dude, let's use some common sense, people. It's like, dude, whatever group you want to talk about, there's not a group I can honestly think of that hasn't gone through turmoil to some stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vibe Tribe, you'll never believe this. We were actually just cut off.
Yeah, and we're both hardwired in. It was weird.
I guess maybe our comment earlier about that three-letter agency.
Yeah, it's what was that space program, NASA? It's similar to that, minus a letter?
Yeah, similar to that. We're not going to say it because maybe some algorithm picked us up. But we just got zapped in the middle of the podcast.
Hey, see if this algorithm suck on my bowels.
Yeah.
See if that pops up.
Salty. so we'll probably edit out that. So you won't hear the snafu. But to the patriotism.
Yeah, shit. Kind of lost our momentum. Love your country. Be cool.
Yeah, we could wrap it up because we haven't seen the dude in a while. The dude's court.
Yeah, and Judge Dude needs to show up, and we got some pretty cool emails. So I think. Yeah, just awesome. Fucking love your country, man. That's the message.
Yeah, like, seriously, it's just when people are trying to divide us, I think it's up to us, the Good Vibe Army, to like say, listen, y'all need to settle down. We're all just good people. And, you know, in a very nice way, smile and say, aren't you precious?
Hey, your day goes better if you fill yourself up with positivity. Trust me.
It is.
Negativity. And, dude, like I said before, yesterday I felt so good, dude. I was so happy, almost emotional. Probably got some pollen in my eyes, you know. I was tearing up a little bit, but
there
it
is a lot
so
of
good.
Pollen.
I would rather feel like that every day than to turn on the news and just hate everybody. Like, it just eats you up. So avoid that. Love your country, love your families, love whatever higher power you believe in, and also love yourself, because if you can't love yourself, you ain't loving nothing.
Well said, especially the love yourself. But yeah, dude, I think it's time for some dudes court. But the thing is, I'm looking, I you know, I have this stuff all prepped, and now that we got zapped here, I'm trying to actually look for it. I could have lost it during.
Well, I got emails. We can switch the emails.
So you know what? We apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna have to postpone the dude court because I had
Technical
to restart the computer. And this is crazy. Wow. All right.
Well, the good thing about our show is there's no format. So there's no producer yelling at us. There's no CEO yelling at us.
Yeah. All right. I had some doozies, by the way, and I'm really upset because I had Florida. I had McDonald's.
Oh, no. That's awesome.
I know, man.
Well, next time. We got nuggets for next time.
Nuggets for next time. Yeah, I apologize, Vibe Tribe, on this. We've never been cut off in the middle of being broadcasting.
Weird,
that was...
Fuck. Well, there's three letters we won't say again.
No,
goddamn.
No. Okay. Who knows? NASA, minus they.
Yep. Yeah, exactly, right?
All right, so we do have emails. That's awesome.
I want to come up for a new acronym for that. I'll come up with a new because we used to refer to the other agency as Clowns in Action.
Yes.
So we're going to come up with a clowny version for
Let's put out to the Vibe Tribe.
Hey,
some
email
IGs
us
or emails of some ideas.
Hold on. What's our email? Hold on. I can't have that. Hold on. The Vibe Tribe at protonmail.com. Send us the funniest version of what you can think for November Sierra Alpha.
That
probably pops up too. They're not stupid. I'm sure they put their algorithms to acronyms, but we're going to get a funny one. Also, continue with questions. I do have some cool emails I want to scroll through.
Awesome.
And if you dig the video version of this, definitely hit subscribe on YouTube and tell your peeps about us if you think Ryan and I are awesome. Spread the word because we want to grow. We want to reach more people. We want to have more fun.
Yes.
And through your guys' support, we will be able to do some pretty crazy shit. So,
yes, power awesome. Of the tribe, man.
That's it, man. And also the shirts, Vibe Tribe Worldwide, man. Check it out on goodvibesdudes.com and you can check out our apparel shit. So yes. The new shirt I'm pumped about. I like the Vibe Tribe Worldwide.
It's cool,
is awesome.
Hun. I was rocking it yesterday at the fourth party, man. Gotta
yeah, my daughter wants it. And I'm like, well, wait till the blue one comes in and you can have the green one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, check on that. So yeah, go check it out, folks.
Yeah.
All right, emails.
All right. Let's see. Where did they start? Here we go. Hey, amigo, I enjoy your podcast. Oh, this is from Mike, by the way. Mike, thank you. Hey, amigo, I enjoy your podcast. You and Ryan have a great follow. I follow you on IG. We've chatted online. I just picked up several Good Vibe shirts, and I'm sure when people see a gray-bearded old fuck walking around in that, mothers pushing strollers will cross the street to get out of the way. I like it. How about a story or two about your SM exploits when I was a signalman?
Oh.
I was a signalman as well, and not a lot of people know that rating is nearly as prestigious as being a SEAL. Well, maybe not, but we have what does it say? Great tan. Oh yeah, great tans, lax discipline, and a front seat view of all the action. That's true. Signalmen are a special breed. I'll get into some signalman stories. Could you also fill us in about how you got into being a safety dude in construction? Keep up the good work. I will stay tuned, Mike. Well, Signalman Mike.
Nice.
Shipmate. Well, he's right. Signalmen are almost as cool as SEALs. If they had guns, they might be cooler. Signalmen are the just shenanigans people of the ship, mainly because when I was in, it was a dying rate. Now, it is now a dead rate. There are no more signalmen. They consolidated a couple rates to just being quartermasters. So signalmen back in the day were in charge of like a flashing light. We had IR flashing light and you would raise flags that were in codes and you had these books. So if I saw the ship you were on hoisted, let's say five flags, I could look it up and it'd be like, oh, okay, they say they're going to do this or whatever. And the Morse code through the blinking lights was awesome because that was pre-internet. And yeah. So I remember we were always signaling IMI Foxtrot, which was, are there any females on your ship? That was like the first, it was kind of like the Tinder of the day, Tinder of the seas.
Yes, it was, love that, man.
Yeah. And you would arrange to meet people like, hey, when we pull in, dude, let's, you know, meet at the pier. Well, it was just, we also had semaphore where you kind of move your hands around. And so when the ships would come alongside and they would string across fueling lines and shit, the signalman would be talking from ship to ship. And it was, you just have little conversations with your hands, man. It was military sign language kind of. And so the coolest thing about being a signalman, to get there was tough because I was in deck division. I was a slave for the bosun mates. I was chipping and sanding and painting the outside of the ship gray. And once they find out you don't want to become a bosun mate, boy, oh, you've just betrayed the whole fucking division. So they told me, if we catch you studying during working hours, we're going to send you to captain's mast because they know you got to study a lot for the test you have to take. So I was an E3. I wanted to become an E4. And the deal on my ship was, because it was a dying rate and not, I mean, they have encrypted bridge-to-bridge radios now, so it's just stupid. They kept it around mainly for ceremony tradition, full-dress ships. We string up the flags everywhere and make the ship look all cool and shit. So the senior chief said, look, if you can strike signalman and make SM3, you know, we're going away, so I could release you and Donnie, who was the LPO, to buds. There's no problem releasing you guys to special programs. So I studied my ass off, but my BM1 had said, if I catch you studying, you're going to captain's mess. So when I was on watch underway, like midnight watch, the signal bridge is right behind the pilot house where I was steering the ship or whatever. So they would just come verbally quiz me. And I was able to pass through their help the test, and I barely made SM3.
Cool. Wow.
So then I got to the signal bridge. The signal bridge is where all the porn was kept safely, because we had a locked safe where all these classified publications were to translate code. And so, man, it was the happy room, dude. And there was a toilet, a shitter, between the pilot house and the signal bridge. That was the Jack Shack, man. Everyone was in there with these mag, and they would come check them out, like, hey, bro. And so it was a currency. It was kind of like being popular in prison. You know, you were in control of the fucking the kitchen. Everybody was nice to you. And later on, when I was in the teams, the signal bridge, I forgot what ship we were on. It was a part of the Bellawood little battle group they had going on there, 31st Mew. And I forgot what hull number ship we were on. Let's just say 54. They called the signal bridge room 54. That's where everyone would go to fuck, because it was a co-ed ship. And the signalmen would be lookouts for you.
I love it, man.
So the signalmen are always, they're like the frat boys of the ship. They always have the shenanigans going on, people banging in the signal bridge. Before ships were co-ed, that's where all the porn mags were kept and shit. And I even pulled a fast one on our officer of the deck. So when I was in the Gulf in 96, we launched a bunch of Tomahawks into Iraq. And they have this thing called a battle ensign. So it's a big American flag that you fly during military operations. And so we flew the battle ensign up as we were launching these Tomahawks. And I knew the officer of the deck was going to come say, hey, I want the battle ensign. So as soon as the missiles were done being fired, we lowered the flag, snatched it up. I kept it, and we put another flag up. And sure as shit, the officer of the deck was like, hey, Sigs, I want that flag. And we're like, yeah, roger that, sir. So I gave him the flag that wasn't even flying during the missile strike. And I kept that shit. And it was tattered, man. It was a badass looking flag. So when I was at Bud's, I had that pinned up, tacked up to our wall in our room. You have to keep a room on the compound, you and three other dudes, four roommates. And the instructors came in for the first inspection, and they were like, why is that flag so fucked up? Like, that's disrespectful to the American flag. Like, it should be destroyed ceremoniously. And I said, negative, instructor, that's a battle ensign. He's like, what the fuck is a battle ensign? So I told him the story of the missile strike the Shiloh did, and that I snatched the battle ensign. He's like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Room passes, parade rest on the beach. Like, they were so pumped by that. And so they would all come in and look at that flag. And so it was cool. So being a signalman, you kind of got away with some things, and nobody was really watching you. You were just this little,
I love it,
pimple on the back of the crew there. You're just this little entity that really didn't exist.
I honestly have a question around that, because it kind of bothers me that, you know, I get that there's cool technology. There's probably technology that we don't even know, you know, since, you know, you've been out. But to stop teaching the skill of signaling with light and Morse code.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if shit hits and tech goes to shit.
Oh, that's what you're going to use. Well, no one knows how to do it.
Well, signaling with your hands, it's like, okay, worst case, I can always talk with my hands.
Yeah.
How are they not teaching that?
I know. It's cool, seriously. Man. It's not that hard to learn. It just takes a couple of weeks to, and then when you can communicate, because every formation of your hand and arms is a letter, and you just spell words. I mean, it's super easy. And
crazy,
the way
man.
Sign language is your hands. You can only be so far apart to see it, but with semaphore, using your arms and hands, you can see it from a great distance. So I just thought it was fun learning Morse code, learning what all these flags mean. And you were also in charge of, you know, the ceremonies as the sun sets and rises.
Oh, nice.
And breaking the American flag. And it was just, yeah, I thought it was fun.
You
were
the frat guy. That is a frat guy.
Yeah,
I love
it. It was cool, man. Being a signalman was fucking, it was cool. So
nice.
It made my last few months in the fleet. I was probably only a signalman in the fleet for about 3 months. By the time I made SM3, it was full time on the signal bridge. I got my orders to Bud shortly thereafter. So I went underway once as a signalman. We went up to San Fran, and I don't remember much, but I know there was a bunch of strip clubs. The second part of this is how did I get into the safety, dude? Just from a buddy. An old teammate of mine from Five just called me up and said, hey, heard you looking for work. This is what I'm doing. This is what I got going on. And so he brought me into the company I work for now. And I love it, man. There's nothing sexy about it, but it's laid back. And I get to spend nights and weekends with my family. And so
you're outside.
It's I'm outside all the time in the woods. I love it. It pays well. It's got good benefits, and it's a family-owned company, which I like. So it's not some big corporation that just doesn't give a fuck about you. Like,
right.
I know the owner personally. He's a great dude, very patriotic dude, speaking of patriotism. And his daughter's great. All the staff, my bosses I work for. I mean, it's just, it's one of the happier workplaces I've been in. And there's no micromanaging, man.
That's great.
I hop in my work truck and I go pick whatever show up yard I want. I pick what crews I want. I get their addresses. I hang out with the crew, shoot the shit. So it's super, super laid back. So I just fell into it by accident, man. Just the brotherhood, old teammate called me up and threw me a bone. So yeah. It's a game changer. So well, it's
like yeah. We said, man, you never know where life's going to take you. It's that river. And it was just the right time at the right place on the river.
Sometimes
man.
You just surrender yourself to it and just go with the flow.
Flow with the flow. Yeah.
Every time I'm struggling, there's a great opportunity right around the corner. And had I known that, now I kind of know. I'm like, you know, something will pop off.
It's so true, man.
I'm lucky. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why we always talk about that. You know, when people are just down and out, just give it some time, man. Something always pops.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Something always better, man. Anytime I try to make something happen, swim against that current, it's just like, fuck, it's a struggle, man.
It ain't going to work. So.
And this opportunity just fell in. Well, kind of like this podcast just kind of happened. I mean,
exactly.
It's just some things just unfold naturally. So
yeah,
well, grateful for that. Mike,
email.
Yeah, good one, man. Yeah,
Signalman
Mike knows Sigs are some shady cats, man. I think Signalman stands for shady motherfuckers. I wish that rate was still around, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, this one is from Spence, my man Spence.
Yeah,
he says, Clark and Ryan, I need some advice on leadership. I was recently promoted 6 months ago to Petty Officer First Class, which is awesome. That's E6. And almost immediately thrust into an LPO position. That's a leading petty officer position. So he's like the main dude.
Oh, wow.
The Navy today is run more like a corporation than it is a fighting unit. Mm-hmm. And somewhere, somehow, junior sailors have been given permission to voice their opinions and ask why, which is weird. The military should not be like that.
No, not ask. No.
Try to ask that question in the Marine Corps, see what happens. Go ask your drill instructor, why do we got to fucking fold our fucking... fucking underwear, whatever.
Let us know how that goes.
Voice of permissions, ask why on certain tasks that need to be completed. There's no respect for rank and order among the junior sailors, and I'm having a tough time getting these folks back into military bearing. We can't single them out because that's hazing. We can't assign them extra duties because they'll jump the chain of command with complaints. When they don't like something, they end up going to medical to avoid certain tasks.
Oh my God.
My fellow first class have shot themselves in the foot by being buddy-buddy with junior sailors. And now I look like the asshole because I want to correct obvious deficiencies. If Clark could touch on this from a military background and Ryan from a corporate perspective on how to motivate and better manage this predicament, it would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Love you. Wow. Keep up the good work. Regards. Spence, awesome email.
That is an awesome one. That's
yeah, do you want to kick it off from the entrepreneurial business side?
I could give perspective from this, but again, I don't know so much of the processes of rules of engagement. So take it with you know, some salt and apply it. So there's a couple things you could do. One, take comfort what you're dealing with. I think everyone in the workplace is dealing with that type of you know, I don't want to say culture, but that type of behavior is becoming the norm. There's a couple things you could do. One, there's the coaching type of leader, and that's where you're not reprimanding them, but it's a teaching moment. It's a coaching moment. It's how can we be better? And sometimes that works because they realize that the whole goal is to be a team and you're not so much boss man. You're just saying, hey man, I'm a coach. We could be better here. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that doesn't. The other thing is isolate, let's say, the troublemakers or those employees, and you task them as a team. You actually give them responsibility. You give them things to do. Let them come together, work through those issues by you giving them basically challenges. Sometimes insubordination or people that don't want to follow, it's actually because they're bored. It's actually because they're not being challenged enough. So if your unit's not challenging them, and then you as the leader, you need to figure out ways to challenge them and bring them together. So if it's not by coach, then two, develop challenges. And then three, there's almost the servant approach where I serve you guys. Okay. Yes, I may outrank you and things like this, but you know, what challenges are we falling into? You know, how can I serve you better as a leader? You know, and that's kind of weird in the military, because as Clark just said, you shouldn't say why. So a lot of these corporate approaches or techniques, you know, it's really, you know, soft and let's collaborate. It's, you know, I actually respect old school military where it's like, you know, how high do you want me to jump? This high? Yes, sir. Yeah. I think that's more effective for military. And I like that style. But if you want to read some leadership books, there's great books out there. Even, you know, Team of Teams is a great book, and that's written by an admiral, right? So he goes into a lot of this stuff, and that's how he kind of developed JSOC, the Team of Teams. But if you need some book recommendations, feel free to email us again. I could recommend some books. But what you're dealing with, man, you're not alone, because it doesn't matter if you're in the military or you're a manager right now at some company. It's just real tough. There's a younger generation out there that has this complex being like, nah, I just don't want to do it. Well, then why are you at work? Why are you this? Why? What's your excuse? So we're all trying to figure it out, man. You know, it's tough.
It is tough. You know, when I was in, it was definitely, if you were knucklehead or you fucked up, you were going to get hammered.
Yeah.
And so that was the motivation that you needed if you were that type of person. For me, I always responded better to, or I gravitated towards, people I wanted to be like. So in this situation, since you can't use negative reinforcements because it's considered hazing or whatever, the best way to beat that is just put the positivity in overdrive and be the person they want to be, because that's who I gravitated to. Will you capture everybody with that? No. There's going to be shitbags who don't give a fuck and they're disgruntled, but you will motivate a large number of people to become like you.
That's right.
If you're just that guy that has such high standards and toes in line and does those things himself. You know, when if I was on the Shiloh, especially when I was at the team, I instantly looked towards people like, I want to be like that guy. You know, they all had qualities that I looked towards, especially me growing up without a father. Looking back on it early on in my 20s, I was kind of looking for a father figure. Like, I didn't really know what a man was other than I had, you know, some hockey coaches or, you know, other people in my life that sort of fulfilled that role. But the military, I really gravitated towards, you know, that guy's. And when I say badass, not just a badass because he can do a million pull-ups, the way he carried himself, the way he communicated, the way he cared about his troops, you know, things like that. When, like, Ryan, what you were saying is, if you are that servant, nobody likes that leader that shits on their subordinates and kisses the ass of their superiors. Especially in the military, there's always that guy that he's worried about that next promotion, the next rank. And Spence is not that guy. You know, most people see that you take care of the troops, and some of your peers might hate that because they're worried about, they want to make chief. And so all they're doing is kissing the chief's ass and kissing officer's ass and all that. Yep. But if you're that E6, that's like that LPO or that platoon sergeant that gives a fuck about, the troops will see that. So there is that servitude portion of it. Some people will take advantage of it or blow it off, but they're not the people you're trying to reach anyway.
Exactly.
But again, being the most awesome sailor you can be, just be the old school Navy, be the Navy that you know and caught a glimpse of before it went away. I can't imagine what being in the Navy is like right now. It'd probably drive me crazy, but I would have to just dig deep in myself and say, look, I know what kind of fucking person I am. I'm going to be the example, and people can either follow me or not. The shitbags will fade away, and then the future of the Navy will follow me. They'll be dialed in, squared away. They'll have some hardcore values. And then that group is your group that, even if you have to issue some extra discipline to, they'll understand why you're doing it. If they were late for watch and then they have to stand a double watch, like, they'll get it. They won't see it as hazing. They'll say, fuck, I fucked up. You know, sorry, boss, I was late. Won't happen again. They will happily stand the double watch. They won't go bitching to, you know, jump the chain of command. But that was all. If you jump the chain of command,
ooh,
dude, you went to your LPO And if he blew you off, then you were cleared hot to go to your chief. You never went to your chief first. God forbid if you went above your chief. That's just a death sentence. I mean, you just catch the captain in the hallway and dime out your fucking chief. I mean, that just didn't happen. You in the teams, you'd be gone. In the ship, you'd probably be thrown overboard.
Oops.
Oops. We lost another one. Davy Jones has got him.
Yep.
That's a tough battle, man.
That is tough. And I think to keep in mind, always lead by example. So like those guys that are going to, you know, you said that aren't feeling well, you know, going to sick bay or whatever, you know, pull them aside, be like, hey man, listen, I'm going to do this PT with you today. You know, we're going to do it together. We're going to get through it together.
Team building, man. You got to be involved in their shit. Come down to the level, team building stuff. And same thing. If there's a way you could order a special cookout for your division, just your guys, hey guys, we're going to fucking grill some hot dogs. I mean, sometimes if you're underway, it's difficult, but team building's huge.
Yep. You lead by setting the example. The more you set the example, and it's not do what I say type of thing, you know, it's saying, okay, I'll do it. You know, it's if y'all are going on the run,
rewards, you know, motivate them through rewards. Hey, if you guys do this, I'll give you an extra day of liberty or whatever you can do. The old days was you fuck up, they're going to punish you, but maybe motivate them with positive stuff. Like, hey, whoever gets the best time on this run gets there or whatever. You know what I mean? There's always dangle that positivity carrot. More people will respond to that as well. You know?
And then also, worst case scenario, it's also too, is like sometimes you just, even in the corporate, sometimes you just got to have a one-on-one sit down with someone. Just be like, hey, Jim, what's going on here? Why are you so disgruntled? Do you want to be here? Because if you don't want to be here.
How come every time we go to PE, you go to the medical? Well,
that's, and again, I don't know how it works in the Navy, but you know, if I sat down and said, listen, you know, you're disgruntled. It doesn't seem like you're happy here. Is this a good fit for you? Because maybe you should explore other options. You know, maybe we should look on how, maybe it's time for you to leave the company. I don't know, in the military, you'd be like, you know, why are you here? You're disgruntled. Do I need to put in for this form? Because we can start talking about this now. I mean, if you don't want to be here, man, and if you're not going to give it your all and be a good sailor, then let's talk about on how you want to get your exit this, okay?
Yeah.
So
and hopefully he's got a good chief. If you got a good boss, I would bring your boss in on this and say, hey, chief, I've been doing some thinking. This is what I'm thinking to do to motivate the troops. Now, if you got a shit chief, then you got your candle burning at both ends. That sucks. But if you got a good boss, a good chief, I'd hit him up and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. These are the tools I'm going to use to motivate these guys. What do you think? Because if you get the chief's blessing, that also gives you protection from the chain of command. Or if these little weasels jump the chain of command and try to snitch you out, the chief can say, fuck no, I'm on board with this. I've signed off on this.
See, that's a great tip to do that. Because
make powerful friends. And there's nothing stronger than a chief in the Navy. At least it used to be. I don't know what chiefs are like now. Who knows, man? But I think doing that, you know, get your boss on board and say, hey, I'm going to try this out. If I can get these guys to click as a team, team building shit, one-on-ones, you know, sit them in your office. And I would do that on a regular basis, depending how big your group is and your schedule. At least once a month, man, I would have a sit down with everybody and say, hey, what's going on? You know, what's going good? What's not going good? Well, what can we fix?
Good point, too. It's like, you know, so if you have that disgruntled dude and, you know, you have sit down with him.
Motivate
him. Well, if he's like, you know, are you happy? Is this what you want to do, Navy? He's like, you know, of course I want to be here. Okay, well, let's talk about this. I'm going to meet with you every month, but starting right now, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish this month?
What do you want to do? How can I help you? You want to be a pilot? You want to be a SEAL?
You want to make me something?
What are you just want to promote? Like, we can help you with that. I think you said it before. Some of these guys are just bored. And we know the military are masters of making you do boring shit, like mopping hallways and painting shit. And that stuff does have to be done. But maybe there's a system you can put in place that rewards that or motivates people. Like for me, I was given a chance to leave the Shiloh and go to Buds. Had the CO said no, I mean, I would have pushed through as positively as possible just because of the way I was raised. But I would have got out of the Navy as soon as my time was up. I wouldn't have reenlisted for sure. So
just remember, take care of your people. Yeah, take care of your people. But to be a great leader, your goal is to make your people better than you. So those people that are bored, like Clark saying, or thing, you want them to say, hey, listen, dude, maybe this is this isn't the route for it. Maybe you need to go to the teams. You'd really need to be challenged. Or yeah. like Clark said, maybe you need to get into to being a pilot or things.
Yeah. So, go to officer program, whatever it is. Yeah.
Right. Groom your people. First, identify that, hey, listen, there's something going on here. You're not happy. Let's talk about it. And
you want a different job? We'll find a way to get you a different job. You can't leave the Navy, but if, hey, maybe you want to be in the medical field or aviation field or.
Then I'm going to help you.
Hey, boss, this just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm not happy with my rate. I'm not happy with my job. I'd like to go be an MP or whatever it is. And maybe just changing rates would just tickle them to death, you know?
That has happened in corporate. I've hired people at certain positions, and it like clockwork, man. 30, 45 days, you see performance going down. They start coming in, the head's down, the shoulder, it's like they're
not happy,
And I just sit them down and go, hey, you know, dude, what's going on here? You know, it's just not right there. Okay, tell me, where would you be passionate? I don't want to lose you as an employee. Well, I really like that. Okay, then let's go try it. Go try it. Go.
Yeah. Partner up with the senior dude.
Yeah.
Let him do a little, you know, ride along or whatever for a week. You know.
There you go.
Hey, you wanna go be whatever? Go. Let me talk to their LPO. See if you can hang out with them for a week. Yep. And maybe there's a dude in that division. You could just switch. Like, hey, I talked to their LPO, and Billy over there wants to do what I do. I want to do what he does. They're willing to just swap us out.
Yep.
Shit. Now you got two people that are happy. So I mean, there's options, but in today's climate, you're gonna catch more bees with honey because everyone's fucking feelings are hurt. But I still think, as far as the military goes, there still should be some masculinity involved, some toughness, male or female. I mean, it's the military thing, so. Yes. There's really no division amongst gender and race. It's you're in a job, you're doing it, but there's a toughness that has to be a part of the military. If the military gets soft, we're fucked. That varies a little bit different than the civilian side. I mean, you don't need fucking Charles Schwab people fucking all chiseled out and fucking crazy. But in the military, you do to an aspect. I mean, there is an aggressive nature to really any job in the military. I mean, it's physical labor, it's demanding, it's stressful, there's deployments. There has to be a certain mindset, and there's still a way to positively cultivate that mindset.
Yes.
You just have to lean more on the positive side. And those of us that were old school, we were raised more with, if you fuck up, you're going to pay the man. So that was your motivation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a little different these days. But Spence, hopefully we've given you some nuggets. Any more specifics, please email us back.
Yeah, man. Let us know how it goes.
That was a great email. Yeah, give us updates, man. If you're able to, and you're not going to reach everyone. Even if you get a handful of dudes that are on board, just those handful of dudes will carry your group to epic levels. And people notice, like, holy fuck, what is Spence doing with these guys? They're motivated. You know, but they were the worst division out of the best division. Like Eddie Gallagher did. He took the worst platoon at 7 and made him the best platoon. And he still had some haters, but he put some points up on the board, you know?
There you go. But also keep in mind, you know, don't just isolate the bad, you know, the tough apples, the rough apples, whatever you want to call them. You also have to do those, like, meet with your great guys too and say, hey, you're doing awesome, but I want to make you better. What can I do?
And get them on your side because they're the unsung leaders.
Exactly.
You know, you're the LPO, but you know there's the guy in the group, the sled dog that the others look to. There's the leader of the group too.
Yep.
You know, and I oftentimes found myself in that position. I was never in a big leadership role, but I was the guy that could motivate other people. I was a little bit older when I joined the military, so right away I kind of started in that position because I was a little older and I had a wife and kids, so I had some life experience. And so I always found myself I found a lot of merit in always supporting the leadership. I never tried to undermine it. I would try to motivate the guys. Hey, if we take care of ourselves, dude's going to back off of us. He wants this clean. Let's clean the fuck out of it. And then he'll come in happy and leave us the fuck alone. If we do a half-assed job, he's going to come in pissed. We're going to have to do it 2 or 3 times. Everyone's pissed. So find out who that guy is. Get him on your side. If you get that dude, the lead sled dog, the alpha sled dog, and your chief on board, you're fucking untouchable at that point,
you're
bro.
You're good to go, man. Wow. So
that hope that helps, great. Spence. We love you. Yeah, thank you for serving.
Best of luck.
Awesome country and on the Patriot episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So good luck. Keep us updated, man. The last one is a quick one from Percy. He says, hi. Just wanted to say thanks for the Good Vibes podcast. Fun and interesting. Keep it up. Best regards, Percy from Stockholm, Sweden.
Hey, Percy. Hey. That's awesome.
Jag vill ha fita.
Yes.
Little Swedish I learned from playing hockey, dude.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So hopefully that makes him laugh because he'll know what that means.
Well, maybe one day, again, we have this global agenda where we want to go do an episode in
the European tour, dude.
European tour, man. That would be, gosh.
Like I said, any bored billionaires and millionaires out there that want to fund a European tour, be like the movie European Vacation. We just travel around causing havoc.
Oh, my gosh. I would get an authentic Viking hat. I'd have to rock it.
Oh, for sure. And well, hopefully it doesn't end up like the movie Hostel, dude, where they kidnap one of us and what was it? They had to like torture people to escape or some shit.
I'm really not worried about it with you because you know how to actually deploy rescue ops. So I'm pretty.
Yeah, if you end up disappearing, I can make some phone calls. I would call Chris Ryan right away. He's my European connection. They kidnapped Ryan. You got any boys ready to roll? Mine will take a couple days to one sober up and then fly across the pond. It might be a week before any bros show up. Who do you got nearby?
That's funny. Oh, man. But yeah, thanks for the shout out, man, from overseas. That is fantastic.
Yeah, Percy, thank you. I've always wanted to go to Sweden.
Yeah.
We had a foreign exchange student, Patrick, who was so awesome, so good at hockey, too. Like, I realized, oh, my God, dude. That's how we always won is we had a good foreign exchange program. We had a French Canadian. We had a dude from Finland, then we had Patrick from Sweden, and just those three dudes, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy shit. I mean, some of our games were like 14-1.
I was just going to say, man, it was like watching the minors.
Oh, dude, you just realized, boy, America sucks at hockey, dude. We should stick to football. American football we're good at. I mean, these guys were good, dude. I mean, they could do shit. Oh, my God,
that's one of the toughest sports, I believe. Hockey. Hockey's so tough, man.
It is. I loved it, man. Every kid should play it, man. It's expensive and it's hard to get ice time, but
and to be a hockey mom or dad is real tough.
Oh, our ice time was 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you're traveling how many miles for travel games?
All the time. Yeah. Especially in Colorado, hockey wasn't super popular yet. And so we had to travel and we were all one division. So it wasn't like football where you had like 4A, AAA, AA. Right. So you played schools your size. We were playing teams that had like four lines and we had like two and a half.
Gosh.
But we had our secret weapon. We had the European mafia.
I love it.
And we would only go out to give them a break. But I played defense, so I was out there with some good dudes. But they were so good at offense. It was like, could you let a guy slip through and
You were the corner brawler.
I was the goon.
I don't want to go
sure.
in the corner with Clark.
My job was to fuck up their best player.
Yeah.
And my coach said, you identify who their best player is and hit him so hard he's scared of the puck and that it would work.
Oh, yeah.
That was my job is to lay dude out. Now,
absolutely.
Oftentimes, we had a rival high school, Coronado High School, and I still remember the dude's name, Phil. I won't say his last name, but he was the goon for their team. Ooh. And he caught me laying their fucking pretty boy out. Dude, he was after me the whole game. Got to a point where we were fighting, and I ended up overpowering him. The refs pulled me off, and he even busted in the locker room wanting to fight, dude.
Nice. This is old school,
I was,
man.
Like, taking my skates off, and he comes in the locker room. But then some guys grab him and pull him out. He's like, I'm waiting for you outside, Impostado. And I was like, fuck, dude. So I got dressed, and I was going to go out there to brawl with him. And then he was, like, waiting with his bag and his stick, you know, slung over his shoulder, his bag. And he goes, nah, we're good, bro. That was good. He gave me a big hug. We became friends after that, man. Because he was a pretty big dude, man.
We talk about that all the time. That's
after a fight, you're bros. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just old school. You know,
you respect each other. Yeah. Like, he got mad I dumped him. I'm like, well, it's not about how big you are, it's how good you are on your skates.
That
we're wearing tennis shoes, I'm a little scared because you're big for a high school kid, man. What are they feeding you over there? Jesus.
Oh, man, what a fun episode. And again, you know, Vibe Tribe Week. Sorry, man,
disconnected. Luckily, there's no format for our show, so we'll splice it together.
Yeah.
All right. That's weird, though.
It was. It freaked us out. So
don't forget to send us the acronym for November Sierra Alpha.
Yeah,
we need a funny acronym we can refer to them as and heckle them. And maybe we shouldn't pick that fight, dude. They have the upper hand for sure.
I would say so. Again, just for people to know, the internet was working everywhere in my house except for my office.
It's weird. Well, if they're fucking with Tucker Carlson, they can fuck with us.
Oh, yeah, man. So We're just good dudes, man. You know,
we're having fun. We'll even have one of them guys as a guest on, man. Let him on. We'll ask him all kinds of questions.
Come on. That's an open invite for all the recording devices.
All the nerds on the East Coast, we love you.
See, I told you it'd work.
See, we got the invite. We're going to get so much pussy now. That's not what Good Vibes is about, dudes. Come on, no. Don't use this for that.
That's awesome.
We're not Tinder.
No. Well, Vibe Tribe, as we always say, man, have a great week, y'all. Kick some ass.
It's been fun.
It is. Clark, love you, brother.
Love you too, man. See you soon.
All righty, bye.